when that thing is present, God move. He just come into this place. And I believe that there are many different reasons that people think that God visited Toronto in 94. But I believe there's one very specific reason, because of the values and how God knows that what Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship is going to do down the road. And the mission and the calling that this church is going to do right now. And I'm so glad to be part of that. I'm so glad to know that Toronto is known by the Father's love and the Father's heart. And this world is so hungry for this, for the Father's heart. I think Acts chapter 4, I think it says the prophet is prophesying that there's going to be a famine in the land. And but I think when I was reading this, almost like the Holy Spirit say, there's a famine of God's presence in this world. And the presence of God want to be in these places. He want to go and visit nations and cities and places and churches. But unless we know how to move the heart of God, it's not going to happen. There's a hunger for God to move in some places. There's so many, right now when I'm looking at around the world over here, it's like there's so many injustices going around the world. How many think about Darfur right now? Even today I heard the news, there's about 6 people were killed and 33 people was injured. And thousand people were killed in Darfur. There's many people are being tortured and killed and they're buried as a mass grave, even in our days. And no one is really trying to go there. Church try to go there, ministers try to go there. I know Irish ministries try to go to Darfur several times. They are the worst case in our generation of how genocide is happening right now. I want to talk to you about something that God put into my heart. It's about the justice of God. I want to talk about this. When there's a justice of God in a place, the heart of God is going to move. You're going to move the heart of God. But only when we know what the justice of God is. God's justice is not the man justice. It's not the human kind of justice. I want you to get this clearly. For example, let me give another example. God's dream and your dream is a different thing. Unless we understand this reality, this world of the way God dwells, it's difficult to understand. It's not, we're going to mix up with the justice of man and justice of God. Your dream, when you wake up, let's say you had a dream, a strong dream, right? Let's say you have a dramatic, traumatic dream. There was, in the dream, there's a car crash, there's something happened, and you see people dying. And as soon as you wake up, you realize you're sweating, your heart's still beating fast, and guess what happened? You say, oh, thank God, it's a dream. It's just a dream. How many do that? How many have had that experience? Oh, man, it's just a dream. You're not going to say this is real because you just say it's a dream. But let me tell you something. God's dream and our dream is not the same. The Bible says that God's dream is strong. Say, God gives dream to man. God's dream, let me say this, it may be shocking to you, but God's dream is more real than our life. Turn to your neighbor. Our life here on the earth, God's dream, his dream, is more real than our life. I won't go into too much into it, but this is, when God starts to dream things, the reality of that dream, it's so real, so strong, that it's in God's mind, it's greater than our own life. Dream is like, it's like an image. You understand that? Dream is an image. When you dream things. And the Bible says that we are created in God's image. And thank God that God, he gives dreams to people. He speaks to his people. We heard about that. He speaks to the prophet for dreams and vision. Some of you need to understand that this what we experience, we need to settle down with this. This love is everything that we touch one day. One day is always going to be gone. It's like a dream. When you wake up, it's gone. One day this world is going to be gone. It's not going to be there anymore. Do we realize that? Do we know that? The car that you drive, the house that you live in, one day it's bang. When you wake up, you come into that reality of God, this thing is not going to be there anymore. We're living in God's dream in this world, in a matter of how you want to look at it. Okay? Let me put some scriptures, because we're on here. Okay, I'm just going to lay down a couple of scriptures as a foundation, and then we're going to build on that. If this is something new for you, I would encourage you to go and do a little bit more reading and research on that. Now, let me talk a little bit about the justice of God before we go into the scriptures. How many know when Jesus died on the cross, when he died for our sin, because he loved us and there's grace? How many know that? You know that there's grace, all right? But how many know that Jesus, he didn't just die and for us, take away our sin, but he also raised from the dead? How many know that? What does raised from the dead mean in the eyes of God? That is the justice of God. Right? If he didn't rise from the dead, it would be an innocent blood being shed right now. Sometimes we need to look at it how God sees things. No matter what's going on in your life today, in this short time, every one of us, we do experience some kind of injustice going around us. This world is so full of injustice. How many know that? You travel the world, you see that. Right? We all experience it no matter how. For some of us, we're going to experience this. But no matter how we experience this, one day, God's justice is going to prevail. No matter how injustice is going around you, I want you to know this. One day, God's justice is going to prevail. What do you think the scriptures say? That every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. They're going to acknowledge. Even if they don't acknowledge it, one day they're going to acknowledge it. Every knee and every tongue. One day the justice of God is going to prevail. Right? The throne of God, the reason the throne of God is still sustained, is sustainable, is strong, is because God is a God of justice. God is just. If God is not just, there will be no throne. He cannot rule and reign. And if you want God in your life, you want him to rule and reign in your life, one way he's going to do that, through justice. And if we learn about this justice of God, not just justice of man, we learn about this justice of God, how these things move, how these things work, you're going to move the heart of God on your behalf. God is going to move for you on your behalf. Think about the story of Moses and the Egyptian and the Israelite. God moved on their behalf. He did mighty things. But You see, if we go and seek justice after our own righteousness, not with the righteousness of God, but if we ask for justice of our own term, this is where we make mistakes. Because the justice of God, the one of the requirements God asks is say, wait, wait for him. A lot of time we don't understand that. We need to be able to wait in that place where God is going to intervene for our behalf. Now, one thing that you and I have, those who's been in this church for a number of time, or you learn it, we've done a lot of encounter weekend, a lot of healing week. We understand how to break sin, generational sin. We went to the healing things. But it's good to break that sin. How many know that? Generational sin. It's good to go and to confess them before the Lord. It's to break them and to bring them to the cross. But you see, God does not stop there. Because if God stopped there, there's something missing. It's just the grace of God. But God needs to now establish. He needs to reward those who's living righteous before. There's a justice need to take place. The justice of God is going to reward the faithful. That's how he does it. Justice is not about punishment of the wicked. It's not just to encompass the rightful reward of the faithful. This aspect of God's justice is shown in Isaiah 30. So Isaiah 30 is a very good example how God makes his justice accomplish. Let's go through the scriptures very quickly. I put a couple of scriptures just to be able to help you to understand that, how the justice of God works. It's always in NIV, the New International Version. In Deuteronomy 16, verse 20, this is one of the early scriptures talking about how to live in the land, the promised land that God's giving you. A lot of you have hope, you have dreams. God's give you promises. God give you prophetic words. But when you're in this place, when you're enjoying this place, I remember years ago when the Lord spoke to us, spoke to me and said, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, you're going to be in full time. You're going to be in the ministry. And now we're in ministry. He made it happen. We didn't ask to be here and just, door just opened, the favor of God just opened, and we just step in. And when you say this, when you're in your promised land, how many of you have... You know, you're walking in God's dream right now. You know that God has spoke something, and this is where you are. You're doing it. You're living in this place. And one way to be able to dwell in this place where God's giving you is this. It's a full of justice and justice alone, so that you may live and possess the land that the Lord is, your God is giving you. Every time when you got, it doesn't matter if it's a business thing, it's a marriage, it's at a workplace, it's a house. We have to learn to do this. Yes, God wants us to live freely, but without rule, without righteousness, what kind of freedom what people want to live? Doesn't make sense. God established rules as well. And one of that is justice. God wants us to be able to live in this place, to do it well. Right? So, everything that God's going to give you, put into your hand, the one way to keep it going is to be able to administrate the justice of God, not your justice. I want to make this clear. The mankind justice is different from the God kind of justice. Next one. Justice will be done. As I've heard, he say, yet the Lord longed to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice. God is a God of justice. He's blessed are all who wait for him. But we see, there's a time to wait, but there's a time also to move on. There's a time when the Lord say, get out of Egypt, move now. And this is where we need to know that. Okay? And those who learn to live with that God of justice is going to be blessed. Next one, Psalm 45 verse 6. It says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. That's the only way God's going to rule, with justice. Malachi 2 verse 17. It says, on the day of judgment, you have wearied the Lord with your words. Now, this is another kind of group of people. It said, you ask by saying, all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he is pleased with them. Or where is the God of justice? See, this is one thing that people say. Where's the God of justice? Where's God? Always, and so when doing this, when we think like this, we wear the Lord. We think, you know, this is not moving the heart of God. This is put a burden and a heaviness in the heart of God. But when we know that God is going to move by justice, God move. But you have to be able to learn and to wait upon him. You understand? I gave a couple of examples the last week, but let me just go back again. Someone who is living in an unjust world, and this is what happened to them. Because of injustice, their heart has been hurt and so damaged that their heart become a heart of stone. They become so hard. And the heart of stone has, the result of the heart of stone is not able to receive love. The heart of stone is also resistance toward change, difficulty with relationship, especially with intimacy, unable to meet, feel, cherish, or be cherished, sadness and emotional emptiness. Someone who's been hurt, especially strongly by injustice, and they turn around and they talk about, where's this God? And God is pleased with those who do evil. And I know we heard it all the time. And now you walk past by this person and you felt propelled by the love of God. And you walk to that person, whoever that person may be, and you say, God's loved you. Is that true or not? Is that a true thing when you say God's loved you? It is true. God does love the person. And the person, because of so many injustice around his life or her life, and because a heart cannot subject to change, and the heart's been so careless, so and cannot feel the love of God, and because of that injustice, guess what we're going to do? We're going to rebel against the very first thing that can change their life. The God of universe who extend his arm, open his arm to that person, want to see something change, want to speak favor, want to bless that person. But because of injustice, the person could not receive it. That person will rebel, will say, get out of my face. I don't want to hear about that. I rather believe there's no God than believe there's a God and live in such injustice world. Injustice is the ground field, the battlefield of the enemy. Everyone who tread on that injustice level, where the enemy is working, it's hard for them to understand the justice of God. The justice of God is on a different platform. It's on the grace and the love and the mercy of God and the justice of God in the same platform. It's not different places. The throne of God is love, is mercy, and we saw it earlier, the scepter, the justice of God. God cannot rule without justice. God cannot rule without mercy. God cannot rule. God is love. He is love. You cannot change that. And justice cannot be changed. The justice of God cannot be corrupted. It's impossible to corrupt the justice of God. The justice of this world can be corrupted. Judges can be corrupted. Lawyers can be corrupted. But the justice of God cannot be corrupted. And soon, one day, this justice, that God just is going to rise up and he say, I'm now going to come in with a flood. You remember that scriptures? That the gates of hell will not prevail. I will build my church. And how God's going to build, it's on all this. And I think this is where we, you and I, need to understand. God is putting that foundation stone right now in the church. There's a church in Brooklyn, New York, called the Cathedral of Joy. How many have heard about this church? Cathedral of Joy. I want you to be able to check this out. Cathedral of Joy. They're stepping into this era very big time. Huge time. The youth pastor, every time they get together with the youth group, they're talking about the justice of God, and they're also talking about the justice system, and the ministry of justice. They put that together in their teaching, in their talk to the young people. Every week, they're praying for the justice system and the justice of God to be made available, not just for them, but for people around the world. There's a lot, the YWAM organization is moving big time in this area. They're training their people to walk in the justice of God. The Youth for Christ is following the same footstep. Without this milestone, this is a big, big, important foundation that needs to be established. Without that, the church, the gospel cannot be preached because of all the other injustice going around the world. And the people need to know this. The more justice, the godly justice going around, the more the gospel is going to be able to reach out and preach around this world. More people is going to come to the Lord Jesus when the church, when you and I start to walk in that godly justice in our life. And where did that start? It started in your life. It started in our life. It started in our church. It started in this city, in this town, in this nation first. One thing that I'm excited is this nation is so strong and believing God for the justice of God to move. They're coming to a place where they're feeding the poor, the hungry. There's a movement called International Justice Mission. I don't know if you heard it, IJM. And I'm so glad I'm this is a movement that's now started to go international around the world. IJM started with a guy, he's a lawyer in Washington, D.C. And he saw so many injustice in the justice system. And finally, he started to create this mission. He said, you know what? I'm going to create a justice mission, ministry. Everything is going to be built on biblical principle and scriptures principle. And now there's an IJM Canada. It's in London, Ontario. I encourage you to go on their website and check it out. And now they're going, not only that, they're going around the world. They're talking about the hunger that's going around the world. There's so many millions of people going to bed every day without food. When Alexander and I, we were in Barcelona a couple of weeks ago, we saw there's a big sign about this. So many hungry people going to bed without food. And they all started to do make people aware of how they can change this world. This movement that's talking about child labors, child prostitution, we're going to make this aware. And to my amazement, young people who God is using right now, who's making this aware. There was a young boy, he wrote a letter to Obama a couple of months ago, and he got a response. He wants him to understand that there's so many injustice toward the children in this generation, and he got to respond. IJM is International Justice Mission is hiring people around the world. They're hiring accountants, they're hiring lawyers, they're hiring local people. In Philippines, they're hiring people. They're hiring journalists, investigators, we want people to go in around the world, and we want people to know what's really has been happening. Let me read Isaiah 30, verse 18 to you. It says, therefore the Lord will wait, that he may be gracious to you. Let me say this again. Therefore the Lord will wait, that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted, and he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. For the Lord shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. When you cry to God with the right heart of injustice, you cry to God on behalf of people who cannot cry to God because they don't know God. When you cry to God, God said he will move on their behalf. This very weekend, Friday and Saturday, there has been, I don't know how many, but I'm pretty sure that at least 10 or 15,000 people has gathered in Sacramento, California. How many heard about that? Friday and Saturday. There's ministry by Lou Engle called The Call. You can go ahead and check it out on the website. You can stream it live. The Call is all 95% is the young people who are in this place. Over, I don't know, 15,000. I don't know the right figure, but a lot. The crowd is huge. It's in the stadium in Sacramento, California. And the reason we get together from people all around the world, we're calling out to God for the God of justice. One specific call is to say, God, get the young people out of prostitution, out of child labor. Let the justice of God rule and reign in this nation. This is what we're doing. I encourage you to do. God is doing so many things right now in this area. And if we are not there, we're not catching up with God, it's going to just slip through our fingers. When we look at the cross, the Holy Spirit spoke a couple of things to me. He said, what do you see? I say, I see love, I see grace, I see mercy. And the Lord said, let me put a nail in your hand, let me put a nail in your feet, and let me tell you, after that experience, you tell me what you see. And I realized, what are you talking about? And he said, no, that's pain, that's sacrifice, that's hurt. Sometimes we need to look at things, it's not just. Sometimes you and I will come to a time when we experience injustice in our life. But no matter how big or strong that injustice, I want to tell you again, God is going to prevail one day. But we need to be able to learn to wait upon him and cry out to him. We need to be able to rise up our voice in this nation, because I'm so proud for this nation right now, I'm telling you. I'm so proud of this nation because this is only one of few Western nations who can go into some different parts of the world, who can still live in the free world and say, you know what? We want to tell you, but God is real and God is love. We can talk about God to other people because Canadian has a justice system, which I believe it's, and the government that is going to stand up for who Jesus is. God is not only breaking the curses, not only redeem, but God is going to reward those who's faithful to him. You're going to be rewarded one day. The scriptures came to me many times, said, it's not those who raise the sick, kill the, you know, and healed, raised the dead and healed the sick and prophesied and say, but those who do my will. Well, every time I'm thinking about this question, God, what is your will? What is your will? And God wants us to be able to live a life righteous before him. It's not just not little stealing, little lying, but God wants us now only not just doing stop that, but I don't think anybody's doing this, but I feel like God wants us to step in a high level with him. Let me look at the next one. 1 Kings chapter 3. Solomon asks, and God came to Solomon and said, now you're going to be king, so what do you want? Ask me anything. And this is what he asked. He said, so give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. What does that mean? Distinguish between right and wrong. Justice. To know what is wrong and to know what is right. Some people call it wisdom. But when I look at this, I realize to know what is wrong and right, that's fair, that's justice. And then, for who is able to govern these great people of yours? Next one. Okay, now we're going to another place. I'm trying to give you different kind of people, how they see or live in a different kind of justice. Job understand that, but he missed it somehow along the way. Look, this is what Job 8 say. How long will you say such thing? Your words are a blustering wind. Does God pervert justice? Does the mighty, almighty pervert what is right? When your children sin against him, he gave them over to the penalty of sin. So Job now come to a place and say, you know what? I know this. And then, not just knowing, but later along, as he go along, he totally now turn against God and say, God, when things go wrong, then he said, God, where's your justice? You're wrong. I'm a man who stand right. I do everything right, but you don't do it. And he started to blame God. And this is what I'm talking about. There's time. It's not the justice of man. You find, okay, you're guilty. Now go to jail for 30 years. No, and I'm not talking about that. The justice of God for us is to be able to wait upon him. Next one, Job 34, verse 46. And say, let us discern for ourselves what is right. Let us learn together what is good. And Job said, I am innocent, but God denied me justice. Although I'm right, I am considered a liar. Although I am guiltless, his arrow inflicts an incurable wounds. I am right, God. And maybe some of you say, God, I'm right. I've done this. I've done everything you want. And yet, I'm still hurting. Still, things that come against me. Hosea 12, verse 5 and 6 says, the Lord God Almighty, the Lord is his name. His name is renowned. But you must return to your God. Maintain love and justice and wait for your God always. Return to him. How do you return to him? Wait upon him. Wait upon him. If we know how to move the heart of God, God will move on your behalf. You see, the scriptures in John 3 said, when Jesus talked to the Samaritan woman, he said, where shall we go worship? He said, neither on this mountain nor on that mountain. He said, now the true worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. You know what worshipers is? True worshipers are those who are able to make sacrifice. This woman, I tell you, you know the story, right? How many have you been married? 5 times, divorced 5. There's a lot of injustice around her life. Now he wanted to know the God of Abraham. I want to go and sacrifice. Basically, let me give you another way of looking at these stories. I'm going to sacrifice. My sacrifice is this. I've been married 5 times, divorced 5 times. I need to forgive. I need to go to God, bring it to the Lord right now. I can't live anymore like that. And Jesus knew that. Okay, let's do that. true sacrifice is become a servant of God. The servant of God is spirit and in truth. In Micah 6, say, and with the Lord, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or thousands of rivers of oil? And I know this is like in the Old Testament, but today you can put it in your version. Will the Lord be happy with 1,000 Mercedes-Benz or whatever it's like? Will he be happy with 5,000 Apple computers or whatever? You know, you can talk about this language today. If you're talking to the kids, will God be happy with 1,000 Wii game? They'll probably say, yeah, right? Will Bob be happy with a best drum set in his house? You know? So the priest started to talk about this language. Will God be pleased with 1,000 ram? I don't know. I won't be pleased. Will you be pleased with 1,000 ram in your backyard? I don't know, 10,000 rivers of oil. Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? No, say, God has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? And this is what the key is here. This is what God requires. Not your oil, not your laptop, not your computer, not your car, not your house. This is what God requires. And it's still, I believe, still the same today. To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. To act justly, to be just. Every business who's going to prosper in the next, I can tell you this, is the one that is going to leave, manifest the justice of God. Walk, even those people who don't know, but they're going to learn the principle of God and they're going to prosper. Let me give you one of the principles that what God say. And we need to learn that. The sooner the better. The scriptures say you have freely received and freely give. Any business who don't know how to live on that biblical principle is not going to succeed. Think about this. I was checking. There was a last report come out of Google a couple of days ago. He was a chief financial officer for Google. He administrates $20 billion a year. He's born in India. And Google has been giving. How many of you have Google before? You went on the website. You used that before. You all done that. How many pay for something for the services? Do you pay something? Do you pay when you get it? Some people use it every day a couple of times. They learn to do something, to give something out, and in return, they're only 11 years old, very young, and they're making so much money. They have over 20,000 people working for them in 11 years. And they learn the principle to give something out and they prosper. I remember when Microsoft came out and we started to give Hotmail. How many know that? I mean, you still have a Hotmail address. Free Hotmail. Wow, I can email someone. I don't have to mail a postcard, mail my letter. Don't have to spend 1 cent. I'll just mail it and get there instantly. I can tell you what, I wish I had this in my days when I was dating Alexandra. She was halfway around the world, and we sent a letter. It took about a week to get there. Sometimes it's lost in transportation. So what do? We write letters every 3 days. So by the time she got one, I get one. She get, you know, like, you know. So we don't wait. I can't wait for her to write to me when I write her back. She won't like that. So by the time I write one, I send another one 2 days, another one 2 days, you know. But if you had this email system in those days, we don't have this problem. How many use Skype? How many talk to your friends, neighbors around the world? You don't. It's free. It's a lot of things right now. This is a biblical principle. And you want your life to prosper. If the church needs to start to grow, We need to start to do that, freely receive and freely give. It's amazing how the corporation is learning it. We are not even Christian, we know this is what people ask for. To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. I remember, you know, when I look at Google and they come out with YouTube. YouTube, how many got seen YouTube? I use that a lot, quite a bit. YouTube is only 5 years old. You know what can kind of remind me? It reminds me about this church. We're like 5 years. The main church like the Google, and we are the YouTube. We are the 11 and the 5, and so it's kind of like interesting. A lot of injustice, people put things on video and everything, and there you go. Let me say this before we go to the next verse. Since YouTube has been established in 2005, from now on, every day, there's 6 terabytes of information being released every day. 6 terabytes, one is 40,000 hours of video information. So 40,000 times 6, that's every day information is being released. How many people put things, information out? It's blow your mind away. We only and if the church is going to start stepping into that place, we can reach this world one day. But we need to understand how the biblical system of God works. Faithful to the saint, Psalm 37:28, for the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saint. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. Amen to that, right? God works for justice, Mark 11:5. When you stand praying, this is one of the last PowerPoint we're going to go into a set of prayer. When you stand praying, understand the biblical justice of God. When you stand praying, if you hold anything against someone, go and beat him up, take his money away. No. This is the justice of this world that tells you to do that. Right? You say what? Forgive him. So that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sin. That's the justice of God. Now, we're not compromising things. We just want you to get a more understanding what the things that move the heart of God. If we're going to move the heart of God, we have to do what God's word says. Right? Luke 6:37, do not judge, and you will not be judged. That's a good thing. You don't want to be judged. How many want to go to the court every day and stand before the judge? And they say, okay, now your verdict is coming. Stand up. I don't like that. How many remember OJ? Hire the best lawyer in the land. I mean, this is not a good thing. You don't want to be judged. But the justice of God is, this is what he say. Don't judge. But we don't understand it. We go around every day judging people. My goodness. And then when judgment came against us, we say, why is this happening to me? Because there's a justice of God. God operates in that level and we open doors for the enemy. Do not condemn. You will not be condemned. Right? Now, let me clarify a few things here. Doesn't mean that now you're free to do whatever you want. You know, if I go and Bob, give me your wallet. Bob said, no, you have to give it to me. I'm going to take it. And Bob said, I'm going to judge you. Say, no, the Bible said don't judge. That's not what we're talking about, okay? Don't get me wrong here. This is not what we're talking about. Some people think that's what we can do. We can do whatever we want, if we want. Don't judge me. Don't condemn. No, that's not what we're talking about. We need to learn to live justly before God. We cannot arouse jealousy around people and then walk around freely and say, don't judge me. Don't do that in the first place. Joseph raised jealousy among his brothers, and what he reaped down the road is because of what he sow. The Bible clearly says, don't be deceived. Whatsoever a man or woman reap, they will sow, they will reap. All right? Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, it will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. The same measure you use. So what is your measurement? What kind of measurement? Matrix? I don't know what kind of measurement, but the same measure you use, that measurement is going to use towards you. So we have a choice here. How are we going to live this life? If we live it right with the measurement, with God's word, we live according to his word and his principle, we're going to abide in God's grace and mercy and righteousness and love and justice. I tell you what, your life is going to be changed. It's going to be transformed. It's going to grow. It's going to be flourish. God's going to extend your tent. If you're going to want things to grow, but you don't remain faithful, it's not going to work. Let me say one thing so clear that everybody need to hear this. You can do injustice against someone or something or some whatever. There's injustice towards you, and everyone, we do things right, and sometimes we do things wrong. You wrong your neighbor. Okay, you ask God to forgive you. You wrong your friend. You ask God to forgive you. It's okay, God's, but one thing is this. Pay attention. Don't wrong God. No matter what you do, don't wrong him. Because when you wrong the God of the universe, you're not in the right place right now. If we do that, there's a couple of scriptures say this: if you speak against the Son of Man, you will be forgiven. But if you speak against the Holy Spirit, guess what? And we come in, I don't know what is going on with some people, folks, guys. They're coming to a place where they think they can, one day they can be in this church, a few weeks later they can be in that church, and a few weeks later they just go around and judge and judge and condemn and judge and condemn and move around from church to church to church to church. Let me tell you this. You're not wrong men in doing this. You're wrong God. Because any church that God established is God's work and it's God's plan and it's God himself that you're turning against. You're not turning against God. Let's be clear on that. You might not like what somebody says from the pulpit, but watch out. Be careful. If you live this life, that measurement you live, it will measure into you. If a man is not faithful or a woman is not faithful to their spouse, guess what? That's what they're going to reap. I learned this long time ago, right? And I know I gave my life to the Lord when I was 18. And I don't know how to explain this to you, but the same day I walked the aisle to give my life to Jesus, the same day I knew that I'm going to be in the ministries working for the Lord one day. I don't know where, I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know how it's going to happen, but this is what I know. I'm going to be in the ministry one day. And this is one reason I ran away from God for 3 years. Because I don't want to stop doing it. I say, I'm still 18 years old. I still have my life in front of me. You see, you try to run away from God. And I remember the story of Jonah came very big time in my life. You not only you lost things, you damaged your life, you endangered your life. but you endanger the life of people around you. That's scary. And I have no choice in a sense that God, okay, take me, do whatever you want. And years later, the Lord spoke to me and said, you're going to be in a faraway country and you're going to know many people, they're going to know you, and et cetera, et cetera. An audible voice, the Lord spoke to me. And here I am, 5 years now in Ajax. I can tell you a lot of these things right now. And sometimes people came, oh, I don't like you. You can do whatever. But if this is God's will, this is God's plan, you're not, to me, you know, my life is like a vapor. We just go, next day we disappear. It's like if God wake up from his dream, I'm gone. And you're gone too. So God, keep dreaming. Right? So which measure do we use? And I know this. And I said, God, if I'm going to serve you one day, I know that I need people to go and help me in what I'm doing for you. And this is what I do. Every place where I go, every church that I attended, I don't corrupt the ministry. I don't mock them. I don't dishonor the leaders. Sometimes I don't like what they do. But that doesn't make me give me the right to mock people around. I remain faithful. I remain a servant to them. The only reason, because I know that one day when I'm going to be in this place, what I sow is what I'm reaping. What do you want to reap one day? So the question is, when and how are you sowing the fruits of your life down the road? Okay. We're coming to a place where God is going to reward those who are faithful to him. And this morning I realized, if we're going to talk about the heart of God, this is one thing that moved the heart of God, and we want also to come speak against the heart of stone. I'm going to help you this morning. If you realize there's a famine of God in justice in this world, if there's a famine of God in justice in your life, if there's a famine of God in justice in your marriage, if there's a famine of God of justice at work, then you need to be able to learn to wait upon God and allow God to move on your behalf. I'm going to put a couple of set of prayers. And how many of you right now, when you listen to this, to what I say this morning, you can identify with what I say? You do? All right. For those who are still not sure, I just want to pray and bless you for listening to me. But those who understand where it's going, where this message need to be preached today, it's absolutely required. I want you to think about those injustice, and the Bible says, "Those anyone that has sinned against you, you know, forgive him." All right, I want you to, those who identify with this, we're going to pray this prayer. Okay. It's a very simple prayer. It's about the Lordship of Jesus over your life. It's also to talk about any ungodly, any injustice in my life and in my previous generation, injustice that has come against both my parents, my mom and dad, any injustice that has come through my past generational line, even injustice that has come to my spouse, God, we're going to pray and break that demonic spirit of injustice. Is that okay? Right? Okay. Right. We're going to pray this prayer together, okay? Let's do it together. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and rose again from the dead. You redeemed me by your blood, and I belong to you. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your shed blood, which cleanses me from all sin. I want to live for you. I come to you as my deliverer. You know my special needs, things that rob me, torment me, defy me in any unclean or evil spirit. I claim the promise of your word. Whoever call upon your name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be delivered. I now confess, repent, and renounce any injustice done in my life and also in my previous generation on my side and my spouse, as I ask you to forgive us. I renounce them all. I forgive others as I want you to forgive me. Forgive me. Break stronghold of injustice. Now cleanse me with your blood. I repent of any way I have given place to the enemy. I call upon you now, Lord Jesus. Deliver me and set me free. I renounce Satan and all his demons. I loose myself from injustice and I bind all demonic of injustice to bow before the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right. Now, I'm glad you stand up because I felt the Holy Spirit want me to ask those who want to go deeper, if you know a specific case, if specific situation, right now, I'm going to ask you to. There's another, this is like a general one we did, but if you know, say, God, I know there's someone right now, there's something, we're going to go at, there's a blank space, and it's you to fill in the gap. Put a name, put a face, put a pictures there. You understand that? Okay? Why don't we all stand? If you know that's relevant to you, that's not relevant, you don't have, but if you know this is important for you right now, to close that door once for all, I'm going to ask you to stand up. Right? Okay. Here we go. Breaking demonic assignment. We're going to pray for assignment, okay? One, I confess and bring to the light the demonic assignment of, I want you to fill in the blank. Injustice towards you at work, parents, children, when you were growing up, injustice, things that have been said, still bothering you, that's hardened your heart, that has hurt you. Okay, we're going to continue reading. And forgive myself of all those who may have influenced me to sin in this area. Number two, in the name of Jesus, I repent for giving place to any and all demon associated with the assignment of judgment, criticism, condemnation, bitterness, anything that been leading you towards that. Just want to know there are demonic influence, right? Okay, we're going to continue. And I renounce and break agreement with this assignment and all its associated demons of okay, number three, I take authority over the assignments of, and you know, there's some things said, if you don't need to know the roots, if you see the fruits, you know it's there. What are the fruits that are operating in your life? Lack of love, there's a lack of emotional stability in your life. Whatever the roots is, it's an assignment of demonic influence or demonic assignment against you and your life. lack of peace, anything that's missing there, any assignment of the enemy, you need to fill in the gap. And able to feel connected with love again. All right? And based on the finished work of Christ on the cross, I command all demons involved in this assignment to leave me now in the name of Jesus. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me a new heart. Holy Spirit, I invite you to come and fill the areas of my life where any demon assignment has been present. Seal this area of my life with the holy, precious blood of Jesus and help me to walk into the favor of your justice. Let it come. Holy Spirit, come. Father, right now we're just releasing judgment, condemnation. Any injustice of the enemy right now, Father, we're releasing up out, Father, in Jesus' name. Right, we're going to pray for healing and restoration. Any open doors that is known to the enemy that has been closed today by the blood of Jesus. I want you to start closing the door right now. Whatever God's showing you, say, I'm going to close that door right now. In Jesus' name. Next one. Any doors that is opened by God's justice is now God's by your angels on my behalf, never to be closed again. Lord, I pray that you will heal any damage this demon may have caused. As Christ raised from the dead, that same spirit now live in me. I place my faith and trust in your redemptive power. I love you, Lord. Amen. Amen.